We give you glory. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go ahead. Give somebody a high five. Tell them that it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I said, give somebody a high five. Tell them it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. All right, can we have the lights on, please? Amen. All right. Happy Easter, everybody. Oh, I said, happy Easter, everybody. Are you glad that Jesus is risen? He is risen. He is risen, and he lives forevermore. He is risen. He is risen.
Come on and celebrate. Come on and celebrate.
Are we celebrating in this place?
Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate, Jesus,
because he's risen. Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 12 to 20. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And is so, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified that God has raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead is not raised, if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. Here ends the reading of his holy word. For a few minutes, I want us to talk on the subject, the resurrection makes all the difference. Say it with me, the resurrection makes all the difference. I don't know whether you believe it. Say it like you mean it, the resurrection makes all the difference. Hallelujah. How many really believe that the resurrection makes all the difference? Because every religion has had a leader come to this earth, lived at some point, taught some things, and died. Hallelujah. Every religion you can think of, somebody came, he taught some things, and he died. the only religion that has a living and a life Savior and Messiah is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Paul had this conflict. He was preaching in the church in Corinth, and there were a lot of contentions. People were contending with him that there's no resurrection. The Easter doesn't really exist. We can't argue, but Jesus came to the earth. We know. We know that he lived. Yes, we know. We know that he performed miracles. Yes, we know. We know he raised the dead. Yes, we know. I mean, some are arguing that the people were not dead. They were dead, but they were not really dead. Because if they were dead, maybe they were in coma and he just resurrected them. But we are not sure. But it's debatable. But as for Jesus, I don't think he's alive. So this whole resurrection thing does not exist. Then Paul says that if he has not been raised, then the preaching is in vain. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the negative side. If he has not been raised, then the preaching is in vain. But we know that he has been resurrected and he has been raised from the dead. And if indeed he has been raised from the dead, then our preaching is not in vain. Hallelujah. If he has not been raised from the dead, then it's definitely true that our preaching has power. Because the power behind the preaching that transforms life is the power that raised Christ from the dead. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I said the power behind the preaching of the gospel is not the cross necessarily. It is not the birth of Jesus Christ necessarily. But the power behind the gospel is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 21, let's read it quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, say that, now, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God. God, somebody say God. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand a sign. Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and to and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Hallelujah. So Christ coming on the earth, dying on the cross, resurrecting is the power that transforms our lives. Hallelujah. The reason why we must celebrate Easter and we must really be strong on the Easter celebration is because he's alive. You know, Jesus himself said in John chapter number 14 that it is good that I go. How can you go when you are dead? In John chapter 14 verse 12, that most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than this, he will do, because I go to the Father. How can you go when you are dead? Which means that the going is what produces strength. The going is what gives us the ability to do greater works. The going is what makes our preaching strong. Are you with me? And then verse 13, it says, quickly, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The reason why we have answers to our prayer is because Jesus is alive and he's being glorified anytime you receive an answer for your prayer. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. So Paul was saying that, listen, if the people who are saying that resurrection is not true, If what they are saying is true, then all these things don't are not there. There's no power. There's no power in our gospel. There's no power to change and to transform life. But how many will agree with me that power has changed your life? The power of the preaching of the gospel has changed your life, has transformed you and turned you into a better person than you were before, because there is power in the name of Jesus. And the power in the name of Jesus is the resurrection. The second argument that Paul makes is that if he has not risen, then our faith is in vain. But since Christ has been raised from the dead, then our faith is not in vain. And it also means that we can please God. Because in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the power behind the word of God is the resurrection. So the power that energizes our faith is the resurrection power. Are you with me? And the faith is the thing that makes us receive from God. Faith, he says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For everyone who comes to God must know that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly or seek him or diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So our faith is being energized. Our faith is growing because the one who produces faith is alive.
I think you've missed the place.
The word is alive because the one who is the word is alive. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among men. The word is still alive. I said the word is still alive. Jesus is alive, so the word is still alive. I don't know whether you feel that the word of God is alive. And so our faith is growing. So with faith, we can speak to God. With faith, we can access the things of God. With faith, we can get God's attention. With faith, we can receive from God. So resurrection also means we have power to believe, power to receive, power to communicate with God. And the third argument was that if he has not been raised, then we are liars and we are misrepresenting God. But if he's indeed he has been raised from the dead, then we are not lying. I don't know whether you got it. But since the resurrection took place, then the apostles are preaching the truth. And if the apostles are preaching the truth, then we must believe the truth. Hallelujah. That is what the apostles preached. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible said, and they were devoted to the apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine? The apostles' doctrine was very simple, that Jesus came, Jesus lived, Jesus paid the price for our sins, Jesus was crucified, and Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. And that simple gospel is what has transformed the world even till this day. And it is still transforming the world. The fourth argument that Paul makes is that if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Because he came to die for our sins, isn't it? He came to pay the price for our sins. What does it mean? It means that you have contravened the law. You have been brought to judgment, and the judge has passed a sentence that 5 years in prison and puts the gavel down. What does that mean? You are going to jail for 5 years. But if somebody else steps in and decides that I am going to take the punishment for you. So I'm going to go to jail for you. It means the price of your sin or the price of that breaking of the law has been paid for. Amen. And if he has been paid for, then you are no more guilty. I don't know whether you're getting it. You are no more guilty where everybody is concerned. But how many know that when somebody serves a sentence, they are still referred to as ex-convict? So his going to the cross only means that you are an ex-convict. Because you broke the law. Let's say you killed somebody. And the punishment for killing some murder is corporal punishment, which means that you will also be killed. For killing somebody. In some states in America, when you kill somebody, they also kill you. Isn't it? I think Nigeria also has the same law. Yeah, I think Nigeria has the same law. When you kill, you are going to be killed. When you go to prison and you come out of prison, you are not treated like any other person. Every form you fill, you must put there that you've been to prison before. How many know what I'm talking about? And as soon as that check mark is there, it means that certain jobs you can never do. There are some states that you cannot vote again because you are an ex-convict. So if Christ ended up on the cross alone by death, we are free, but we are ex-convicts. But listen to this. The resurrection gives us justification. I don't think you got what I said. The resurrection gives you justification. And justification means that just as if you never sinned. So you are no longer an ex-convict. You are no longer considered as somebody who went to prison and you are out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 3. He says that for what I received, I have passed unto you. As of first importance, that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures. Next verse. He was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Hallelujah. And that he appeared to the 12. Go to Romans. Give me Romans. Quickly, Romans 4:23. It says that he was delivered over to death for what? Our sins, and was raised for what? Our justification. The reason why we can go boldly to the throne of God and present our petitions is because it's just as if we never sinned. We are justified to stand before God. We are justified to be called the sons of God because we have not sinned. Why? Because he took away our sin and made us justified. So the power in the resurrection is what makes us justified. What gives me the ability to stand here and preach in spite of my many mistakes is because I'm justified where God is concerned. I don't know whether you understand what I'm justified. You are justified before God. When God sees you, this is my daughter, this is my son. Why? Because it's just as if you never sinned. You are no longer an ex-convict. How many know that when you know people who are ex-convicts, you don't like to bring them close? You know, the ex-convict wants to become your babysitter or your bodyguard, you say no. Why? Because we can't trust you. We know you paid your debt to society, we understand, but we can't have you do certain jobs. Hallelujah. But the resurrection brings justification. Somebody say, I'm justified. Say it like you mean, I'm justified. I am justified because Christ is alive. He is risen, so I'm justified. The faith, was it the faith argument that Paul makes? We read the scriptures. If Christ has not been raised, then those who have fallen asleep have perished. They have perished. They are just gone. There's hopeless. There's no hope. If Christ went to the cross and that's it, was buried. But since he was raised from the dead, then he's alive. In John chapter 11, verse 23 and 25 and 26, and Jesus said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Someone say, I will never die. Do you believe this? Hallelujah. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. What makes him the resurrection and the life? Because he is alive. He is life. And anyone who believes in him receives the same life. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone who believes in me, though he will die, will live again. Hallelujah. That is why we don't mourn like those who don't have hope. When somebody dies in Christ, we are not hopeless. Because we know that even though the body is dead, he's still alive. Hallelujah. And it's only a matter of time we shall meet them again. Because anyone who believes in me, though they die, they will live. Hallelujah. So the resurrection, as far as we are concerned as Christians, is the most powerful thing. The cross is powerful, but the resurrection is more powerful. Did you hear that? The cross is very powerful, but the resurrection is everything. And he said, the last thing he said was that if we don't have afterlife, then we are amongst men the most miserable. But if we have eternal life, we have life after death, then we are not miserable at all. Hallelujah. Then we are not miserable at all. Then this gospel is life. Hallelujah. And this gospel gives us hope. And this gospel gives us joy. So we cannot be miserable. Hallelujah. Because you see, when somebody is in prison and they know that they are going to be killed because they are in a condemned cell, they are going to be killed at the end of the month. How many know that their demeanor and the way they relate with everybody changes? Food is not nice anymore. They stop being sociable. They stop because they feel hopeless. Are you with me? But if you know that at the end of the week, you are going out, you are going home to meet your family again, you are going home to meet your loved ones again, there's a spring in your step. You have a certain happiness and a certain joy. You are chatting with everybody. You are, because you know that I am going home. Because I am going back again. Hallelujah.